I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's time for Video Games Hot Dog, episode number 55, guys. Do you think that in the future, let me rephrase that. Do you think that in the present, the song I Can't Drive 55 doesn't mean anything to anyone because there is nowhere that has a 55 mile an hour speed limit anymore?
I was just somewhere that had a speed limit that was 55 miles an hour. Sorry to shit on your story.
Yeah, you shot a bunch of holes in my theory, buddy.
Yeah, I was actually surprised, though. It was something that I noted. I was like, what? Why the fuck is the speed limit 55? Doesn't make any sense. It was on a highway. It's like it should be 65 at least.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, maybe you can slow down to 55 in a school zone.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
What about you, Riff? Where do you drive 55?
Because I'm afraid of getting in an accident.
Okay.
Well, that's where you drive.
That's where you drive.
Oh, that's where? Good. I thought
good.
You said
cool.
Why.
Riff drives via synesthesia.
Yes.
That's when you can't tell time from place, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What other songs are there? I heard a song the other day,
55.
You Belong to the City. There was that brief golden moment where every song had a saxophone solo. Every song that was on the jukebox at the Pizza Hut, where we would go.
They only allowed songs with saxophones?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. Hmm. Smuggler's Blues. My dad used to play Smuggler's Blues on the jukebox at Pizza Hut a lot of the time.
Huh.
Cut into the quarters that I would use to play Goonies on the PlayChoice 10.
Oh, yeah.
The first Goonies, not Goonies 2. The Goonies that I...
Goonies 2 wasn't on arcade, was it?
No.
That was the Nintendo.
I mean, it might have been at some point, because the PlayChoice 10 just... I don't know if inside that thing there was actually a bunch of Nintendo cartridges, but it was definitely the same code.
Yeah.
But yeah, Goonies 1, I don't know that that ever came out for...
I don't think it
did. As a cartridge.
No.
I know you can get a ROM of it, but yeah. That doesn't really, you know...
Doesn't mean
that's
anything.
Against the law, so I'm not going to do it. It's a pretty good game, though. It's very just arcade platformery kind of thing.
So it was driving 55, though, and you drive 55 all the time.
Yeah, like in Mach Rider. I guess you were riding a motorcycle. You weren't really driving. Mach Driver.
Yeah, you weren't really driving. It was just a simulation.
It was
of
a
it.
Video game. There was yeah.
M-O-C-K
driver.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Oh, right. I see. You were the Mach Turtle driving away from a raging torrent of tears headed your direction.
And you had to insult the driver to get the car going.
Oh, yeah. How's it going, guys?
Okay.
Pretty good.
You done anything fun or cool? Just video games.
You didn't play Risk Legacy with us last night because you were all, I gotta sleep.
Yeah, we played a game of Risk Legacy last night with the girls.
Yeah, they're mean.
They're vicious.
They cut through it.
They hold
literally
grudges.
Literally cut each other's throats.
Yeah. You notice you haven't seen them today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they heal quick. Yeah, it was interesting. Right off the bat, everyone attacked me, which was a sound strategy.
Sound strategy, yeah.
That did not stop Kevin from winning.
The second game.
Oh gosh. So only
50%. Well, no, what happened was that everyone was attacking me, and so my girlfriend used that as an opportunity to win the game by sneaking in somebody's like undefended rear quarters, hind quarters.
She's always doing that.
Yeah.
Sneaking into undefended hind quarters.
And rough. Then... So the next
Speaking
game...
of which, I need to get a lock on my door.
So the next game, they had a blood feud to deal with, so then I was able to just win.
I see.
Because, well, it was almost... I mean, mostly because Zach had a just ridiculously bad set of rolls at the very beginning of the game, which basically crippled him.
Yeah.
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 Because you had an overwhelming force.
I rolled a truck over my legs. It was a really bad roll that crippled me.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I rolled 3 sixes in a row when I had one dude left to defend, and he had, like... four attacking dudes.
Yep. The number of the beast.
Yep.
And then Kevin's girlfriend said, these dice are broken.
Yeah.
You just keep rolling nothing but sixes. And then she rolled them and got all ones.
Yeah.
And it was funny. It was like, Jesus bot set up some eddies in the air to make those dice turn up ones. Because as we've established, Jesus bot is the funniest robot.
But we're playing on a new board, which was the whole excitement thing. And we got to do a different progression. Each faction starts with the opposite faction of the one that, or the opposite power than the one that we
really?
Played
you
before.
You decided to go the other way.
Yeah,
it
just
turns out a lot of those powers are super bogus.
They're interesting. They're different. They're very different.
Alternatively, not interesting. And
well,
super bogus.
It's interesting that they are so dramatically different.
It's interesting that they are so bogus.
Was that something you just sort of unilaterally decided to do, or because I ended up not applying the stickers because I figured just whoever played that faction first could pick the power they
we
wanted.
Talked about it. And since the girls had never played a game before, we figured we might as well just
make it as interesting as possible for us.
Yeah.
Since we're the important ones here, Riff.
So, yeah. I mean, I figure that we will probably buy yet more copies of this in the future and play it from a start, and then we can, then people can pick their powers because everyone will know what, sort of what's going on.
I do remember looking at the choices of powers and thinking that when Zach set up his board, he picked, like, pretty much all the powers that I would have picked if I were going to pre-choose.
I did it randomly.
Really?
Yeah, I flipped a coin.
Huh.
There are a couple that were that are interesting, but yeah, the, a lot of the ones that seem really powerful were definitely...
Wait, did I flip a coin?
I don't know.
I just choose
It was before...
I was very careful to randomize which territories I put the extra coins on and do it in a way that it didn't prohibit any territories from getting three coins if it happened to come up that way.
Oh, you like reshuffled each time?
Yeah, I didn't reshuffle each time. I drew like four or six of them at a time, put the stickers on, and then reshuffled and drew again. Huh. Didn't happen. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, I don't know if I would shuffle them or if I would like... divide them into different groups and then pick one from each pile or something.
We should play a game where we get to make up the powers that the factions have, but they have to be approved.
Right. I mean, you know, it's sort of like one of those, the,
like a gnomic. Like
I was thinking like you let somebody
Days of Our
cut
Lives.
The cake and then you get to decide which slice.
Yeah,
you get.
Yeah. One person cuts it and one person. I learned about that from Mad Magazine. There was Al Jaffe. I don't know if it was Al Jaffe. Who did the lighter side of? That was Dave Berg. Dave Berg had some scientists, and they were trying to figure out the most equitable way to divide up a piece of cake. And then the cleaning lady was like, hey, idiots, how about one of you slices it and the other one chooses? And then the scientists were all like, fuck, man, we should become cleaning ladies. I think that was the lesson. I think that was the lighter side of, I don't know, nuclear physicists.
Splitting the atom.
Reading in one of those like mathematical puzzles and paradoxes books of how you do that if you have more than two people. I'm too sleepy to reiterate it right now, but it was pretty interesting.
I mean,
a lot more elaborate.
Is it? Or you don't just have one person cut a slice and then another person cut a slice and then the last person gets to choose and then it goes back up the chain?
It's somewhat more elaborate than that. It was like...
See, I think what I would do is I would have all three of the guys, you tie your hands up behind you. You'd have to get the cleaning lady to do that. And then you just, like, start at opposite ends of the room, and then everybody just runs towards the cake and eats as much of it as they can with their faces. It's pretty good. I mean, then you get to, you know, then you get to figure out, like, all right, so which of these guys are my friends and which ones of them will literally eat my face for some cake? You know, you learn. You learn who's loyal.
You just give each scientist a knife. And whoever manages to get the cake.
Oh, man. Okay, so you tie everybody's hands up behind their backs, and then you give everybody a knife in their teeth. And so if you can convince someone, it becomes a social game. If you can convince somebody to use their mouth knife to uncut your bonds, that's what they say, that. Uncut my bonds, please. And they will say, that doesn't make any sense. And then their knife will fall out of their mouth.
And then you can kick them in the balls.
That they get pedantic about it, yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. If you know in advance that you're...
Are you still trying to solve the actual problem?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about the three dude thing.
The way I read about it was pirates dividing treasure.
Booty.
Yeah. And I think it was something like the one pirate gathers an amount of treasure that he's going to claim for himself. The next pirate... if he thinks that's too much, he can take that pile, but then he has to dump some treasure out of it he's going to take that pile, but make it a smaller pile for himself. It goes around the circle until nobody is willing to take a pile smaller than that. And whoever has it last, that's his share, and he's out. And then you divide the rest among the remaining two in the typical way.
Interesting.
See, I feel like maybe what I would do is you just, like, you know, you take turns taking a piece of the gold or a bite
of
cake.
What if it's,
or one molecule of cake.
What if it's two pieces of gold, one that is 80 pounds and one that is an eighth of a pound?
If you've got a chest full of booty, there might be any number of
indivisible
random bits, jewels, and things in there.
Yeah,
we once had to do a similar thing when there were three of us and only two tablets of ecstasy.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So I don't remember what happened. I think I wanted way less than everybody else.
Did somebody get the X and somebody got the Stacy?
Yes.
That used to be your name.
You guys been playing any video games?
Yeah, been doing nothing probably interesting to anybody else in World of Warcraft, just collecting more Pokemans.
I saw you playing some Minecrabs.
Yeah, and went back and played some Minecrabs. Jenny, when she got kind of burned out on it, left my town with this sort of half-built what was going to be an apartment tower.
Oh.
But she built, like, the lobby and then got bored. And so I've been trying to figure out how to finish it.
Can you make NPCs move into an apartment building?
You kind of can, but the problem is the doors have to be within a certain number of spaces from completely open sky, so they can't be apartments that face towards the middle of the building. They have to be outward facing apartments.
Okay, so you could do it like, you could lay it out like a motel.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm going to end up doing. But I started out, there was like a random pool of water nearby, so I converted it into a swimming pool and made a nice patio. And yeah, I made some livestock breeding areas.
Did you make umbrellas out of giant mushrooms?
Ooh, I probably could.
That'd be kind of
awesome. That'd be interesting. I've got a couple little houses made out of giant mushrooms in that village.
Are giant mushrooms big enough to fit inside?
Yeah, you can build little huts.
Yeah, not the brown ones, but the red ones.
Mm.
Well, I mean, you could, the brown ones, you could build walls down from the sides if you wanted.
Oh, out of other mushroom pieces?
Yeah.
Would you have to have cut up another mushroom with silk touch?
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can't really make a house out of a mushroom?
Well, no, the red ones, you can very much make a house
out of. You could give yourself a Smurf texture.
You could, yeah. That's true.
You could give the Ender Dragon a Gargamel texture.
That'd be kind of funny.
Oh, that'd be weird because his arms would be all spread out across the wings. And
that's not what Gargamel looked like when you guys were watching the show?
I think you were doing too many drugs that you were splitting strangely between two other people.
Yeah. How about I take two of these and you guys fuck yourselves?
And you guys call me in the morning.
So that's it, Minecraft and World of Warcraft?
Yeah, pretty much. I downloaded some iPad games, but I haven't got around to trying them yet. They've released Uplink, the old hacker simulator, and for iPad, and they've released...
And the sequel, An Uplink to the Past. It's where you have to hack into
computers. I'm intrigued by this concept.
From the 60s.
they also released the old Warlords game.
The Atari one that's like multiplayer
the 8-player one?
Strategy game.
Did they make it multiplayer on multiple?
I don't know if it's multiplayer or not.
Wasn't Puzzle Quest was set in that
universe? Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's what I had heard.
Awesome.
Yeah. Because it's like Puzzle Quest : Conquest of the Warlords. Puzzle Quest : Warlords the Atari game. I remember. I remember going to a friend's house and they had a MAME cabinet with Warlords on it, and playing 4-player Warlords on an arcade cabinet was like super fun.
Was it?
Yeah, I had not ever played it. I mean, I had, but I was only ever by myself, and so that's not fun at all. It's like, this is just like shitty, confusing Breakout. But when you are actually like playing like competitive 4-way Breakout, it's pretty cool.
Are you all on the same screen at the same time?
Yeah, you got like a corner. You got like little castles made of a right angle in the corner, and then your axis of movement is around it.
Oh, okay.
No.
Huh.
I think I downloaded a couple other things, but I can't think of them off the top of my head. And I haven't played them yet anyway, so they don't really count.
I think in the Atari version, you were using the paddles to control it. And so,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's that original Warlords is in the new Midway iPad app, and it's... what's that ThinkGeek iPad arcade controller box? iCade, yeah, it's fully iCade compatible.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Warlords and Spy Hunter and Rampage, a couple other pretty good
Like the arcade versions?
Yeah, the arcade versions.
That's cool.
Yeah. Neat. What have you been playing, Kevin?
Well, so it's not a video game, but I spent some time playing a game called Microscope when I took a brief trip to Colorado over the weekend.
What kind of game is it?
It is a fractal story building game. So the way that it works is you define like a start point and an end point in sort of like an epic scale of history. And then you take turns defining moments somewhere in that epic storyline, basically. And the goal of the game is to collaboratively sort of define the arc from the beginning to the end.
Are you doing this all just speaking, or do you write stuff down?
You explain stuff, and then you write stuff down to sort of aid organization and memory. It was kind of interesting.
To play it on like a whiteboard?
No, we had little note cards. You have like little, not post-its, but because you move stuff around a lot over the course of it. But it was kind of neat. We did like a game. You actually, in the very beginning of the game is a little different. So you define sort of the broad scope, and then you pick some things that you definitively do and do not want in the story, and you all kind of like come to a consensus on that.
Okay.
So we were doing like a thing where there is a jump gate network between different parts of the universe, and it collapses, and then over some long span of time, humanity is then reunited in some way.
Okay.
And so that was the broad strokes, and then but we like said that there were no starships at all, so like that was a strange constraint. We had no alien civilizations, but we did allow like AIs and psychic powers and other stuff like that. So like it just became like we just sort of like one person would propose something, and that would sort of change the whole nature of what had come before.
Do you have to accept what everybody proposes, or can
it cannot? Well, so it depends. It cannot contradict something that has come before. If you disagree with something that somebody is saying, you can propose an alternate, and then there's a voting process. But there's also different like sort of the microscope metaphor. The name of the game sort of comes into play when you start at this broad stroke, and then you have like periods of history, and then below the periods you have specific events, and then below the events you have specific scenes. And scenes you're supposed to like more or less act out. And those I didn't find as satisfying. They took a lot more time, and I mean, there was a lot of story that like came about because of the like sort of improvised scenes and stuff that we would do, but it was not kind of as satisfying to me as the like just idea generation sort of universe building at the higher scale.
I mean, that's kind of what we do, right?
Yeah. It was really neat. It was kind of an interesting formalized structure for collaborative storytelling.
How many of you were there?
There were four or five of us. Some people dropped out and other people came in and stuff.
And everybody was all about space.
I mean, that we just picked that to do. I mean, you can do kind of anything, but we all like were interested in that. But it ended up, I mean, there's a lot of stuff just taking place on planets, and there was a lot of like political intrigue and separatists, and we were redefining like the physics and the metaphysics of the universe.
But you're doing it all as a story, like you're doing it in terms of individual events that occur, and not like
But you do it like the reason it's like a fractal thing is like each one you like redefine into smaller and smaller chunks until you're sort of satisfied with how that has progressed, and you can build out any segment of it any way that you want. So like I spent some time at the very beginning sort of trying to like define what caused the cataclysm, and I decided that it was a group of terrorists that like shut down the network across the board, but then I went back and further redefined that too, because we had later decided that the network worked by having like sentient crystals that people sort of had to download their consciousnesses into. And then I went back and like I decided that the terrorists did what they did because the crystals had like contacted people and been like, please end our like eternal torment because we're trapped in these crystals, that kind of thing. And then so then we talked about like precursor alien tech and stuff like that. It was just, it was just interesting. It was like a couple hours, and it like just a bunch of stuff flowed out of it.
So this sounds like some White Wolf.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, but nobody is playing any characters. You're just playing you're just like,
you don't find that you invent characters and start to identify with them and say, and then he banged two chicks at once.
That did not happen. Okay. It could have, I guess. There are things that people will say that you're not really excited about, but then you figure out a way to like work them into whatever narrative that you had wanted to do, or
and
you
then
like
some mustard was on it.
Right. So that was interesting. And then what else? I went to a wedding at the Butterfly Pavilion in Colorado, in Denver, or outside of Denver. And
is that named because of actual butterflies?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
It's like shaped like a
butterfly? No. It's like there's actual butterflies in there. They've got like a little enclosed like rainforest that you like. They let a bunch of butterflies free. There was a part of the right after the ceremony. They went in there to like release a bunch of butterflies, and they were like inside this like, I don't know.
Like a bell jar?
Kind of like a bell jar, but like it was like, you know, like a...
filled with cloth.
A basket with cloth on it or whatever, but it was like translucent so you could see through it and see the butterflies or whatever, and they lifted off the top and all the butterflies were just attached to the top and they just sat there. So they're like, be free! And they just like hung out.
No, cool.
Yeah, we're fine.
This cloth is delicious.
And but there was a like there was an exhibit also, that they had in
there.
Also,
turns out they were moths. Somebody fucked up that order.
There was an exhibit that was like set up with like sort of like a, you know, like a corn maze or whatever, where there was a bunch of different like twisty passages between a bunch of banners or whatever.
Was there a cornetar?
There was no cornetar.
Was there somebody going,
no.
Okay.
But on the panels before
did
each
need somebody, because I'll totally do that.
No. Before each junction, there would be like a question, and they'd say, if you think the answer is true, you go this way, and if you think the answer is false, you go this way, and you'd like wander through the maze or whatever. And if you picked the wrong thing, you'd end up at a dead end. And so it was like a
trivia maze,
kind of like a trivia maze. It was interesting. It was like, you know, I had never seen something like that before. I was like, oh, that's kind of rewarding, being smart by like being able to get through the maze faster. If you had an actual corn maze,
being like Cliff Clavin.
What do you mean?
About a porn maze?
Porn maze? That would work.
Maze. A clip, yeah. Like, it's not, I mean, knowing a bunch of true false trivia questions doesn't make you smart. It makes you learned, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, you also will probably remember
Sometimes
something.
Math questions.
You will probably remember the answer to a question more if you have just chosen the wrong thing and run down a passageway. If you're like racing, I can imagine.
So
this
then,
being cool.
Is there only ever one branch? Does every wrong branch, lead to a dead end?
Yeah. Leads to a quick dead end, yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, but you can't see it from maze. You can't see it from where it is.
You could if you're tall enough.
Sure.
Yeah, it's my satellite, right? I mean,
anyway, the only other game that I played besides
a quad.
It was inside a building. Copter. It was inside a building, so you couldn't.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it was banners, not actual corn.
Oh, you said that, and I just I wasn't. I remember
it wasn't printed
banner,
on the corn.
I banner.
Yeah, like Bruce Banner.
But I don't remember you saying that.
Right.
It was in Banner Memorial Hospital.
Yes. And the only other thing that I played that was not the assignment was an iPhone game that I downloaded called Plague Incorporated. It's one of those like infect the world, like you're the virus, infect the world kind of things.
It's like a sort of a post-apocalyptic sequel to Kids Incorporated.
Yes. And it's okay. It's like a
Tina Yethers is patient zero.
It's kind of like a reskinned lemonade stand with a couple of different systems, but it's
except
more or less
you're selling plague.
Yeah, more or less. You're like trying to figure out how to make the plague more appealing to people. Plague. And what you want to do is make the plague infectious, but not through stuff that's going to like arouse suspicion. But then
lemonade.
At some point, you need to make it lethal so you can kill off all of humanity. Mm-hmm.
So this is like that game where you're fucked if you don't start in Madagascar.
If you start on an island, it's a little trickier, I think. I have not figured out all the strategy. I was able to beat it on the first, like you start out as a bacteria and you like, you have to work your way through all the different things all the way up to like bioweapons or whatever. But I was having
you eventually become the xenomorph.
Maybe I was having a hard time on the normal mode, actually getting it to work. I just kept either. Like,
turns out you're bad at genocide.
Wasn't? Yeah, I guess I am.
There's worse weaknesses. I mean, that would be a good weakness. Like if somebody is in it, you're interviewing for a job, and they say, what would you say your weaknesses are? Well, I'm pretty bad at genocide.
Yeah. I wonder how that would go.
Never managed to pull it off.
Yeah. Yeah, it just doesn't ever work out. You know, there's always like a secret agent that stops me. Or
I can maybe decimate a population, but just wiping that entirely is rough.
But I can't really hexamate one.
Right. I can estimate a population.
Yeah, you can approximate it.
Like a checkmate a population.
Yeah. So that's about it. What about you, Zach?
I played a lot of what I played this weekend was I pre-ordered, because somebody wrote in and asked if one of us would do this. I pre-ordered Guild Wars 2
yeah.
and played in one of the beta weekends so that I could talk about my impressions of that, because a lot of people feel like Guild Wars 2 is the last best hope for MMO manity.
And what was your impression?
Well, my impression was, first I'd like to talk about another game that I played. Yeah. On check this out. I found a game and played it on fucking JS Games.
Whoa. No.
I know. When does that happen anymore? It was like, I think it was Link 2 from Metafilter or something, but okay. The game is called Snakes on a Cartesian Plane.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And yeah. it is really good. I could wholeheartedly recommend it. It is basically Snake, the Nokia favorite, mm-hmm. But by playing it, you unlock different variants of it, and by playing those, you unlock still more variants, and the variants are pretty interesting. Hmm. Like
sometimes you're not a reptile. Sometimes you're.
Some of them are extremely difficult. It's all really lo-fi. Like it's all like big pixels, you know, and the granularity is very small. You know, it's like, I don't know, a 30x20 grid that you're playing on of spaces. Okay. But like there's a variant where whenever you leave a piece of food behind, whenever you eat a piece of food, it places a wall where that piece of food was that is indistinguishable from the food. So whoa. If you don't watch which new one pops up. And also, each level has like a developer high score, which they didn't go nuts. They just played it, and their high score became this thing. You get an achievement for beating it, and you get an achievement for beating all of them. You get an achievement for, you unlock a new game by beating five of them or whatever. Like, it just, so there's another one where this was fucking hard to think about. When you eat a piece of food, your tail becomes your head and starts going in the opposite direction.
Oh, wow.
So it's like just gets super weird to try to like, you know, even though you know what's going on, it like gets really hard to anticipate what it's actually going to look like. There's another one where every time a piece of food pops up, it's two pieces of food. And when you eat one, your head emerges from the other.
Whoa.
And so you end up with all these different pieces of you following along the trail with gaps in them. There's one where the level just keeps getting smaller. There's one where you're underwater, and so you have to periodically go up to the first couple rows to get some air, and the food sinks down to the bottom over time. Like, I don't know. I would not have thought that you could do a bunch of awesome shit with Snake, but they totally did. I don't know who made it. It was evocative of that, you know, there is only one level or achievement unlocked.
Right.
Kind of, you know, it was like a very self-aware video game, but still fun.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah. Then played a ton of Guild Wars 2. Not a ton of Guild Wars 2. I played a guy up to like level 10 or something, and then I guess it was actually a lady guy.
So this is a total sequel, completely separate from the original world. You don't have any carryover stuff at all.
There is some stuff that you can do in Guild Wars 1 that carries over into something in Guild Wars 2. Because okay. I remember reading on Kill 10 Rats, like, them talking about all of this stuff that they felt like they needed to do in these, like, sort of... I mean, it's not even really, like, end-of-the-world events. I don't think they're shutting down Guild Wars 1. But there are some really neat systems in Guild Wars 2, and like there are no quests. It's very like typical MMO play, like in terms of just, you know, aggroing creatures and using skills on a hotbar. But there are no quests. There are just places that are like represented by these hearts on the map. And when you're within range of one of these, it just gives you this list of things that you can do to help those people. And sometimes they're like nonviolent things, and sometimes they're just kill enough of these dudes. Sometimes they're like, grab some buckets and put out these fires, or kill the dudes that are starting the fires in the first place, or whatever.
Right.
And then when you complete one of those, you earn some karma, which you can then use to buy stuff from a person at that heart. Like, each heart turns into a store. And I guess they're sort of built into the fiction. It's like, oh, you can, you know, you save Arnold's farm, and then you can get an Arnold pie.
Does the karma transfer over to any other heart? Is it a universal currency?
Yeah, it's universal currency. You also get it by doing some other stuff. I tried to go into this weird... They have this weird world v. world PvP where you're actually fighting against people on other servers.
Okay.
And I went in there and just had no idea what was going on. Like, there were all these... I don't know if being more familiar with the geography of the world would have helped, but it was like, well, there's a bunch of portals, and then there's nobody here. And then I went out into the PvP area and got killed by a mob, and then I didn't know what to do.
There were non-player mobs.
Yeah, it's like it kind of puts you into a copy of the world. It's or not, something. It's very.
It's not like that Lord of the Rings PvP where you play.
Become a monster. No, that was pretty cool though. Mm.
I liked that idea.
Yeah, I had fun with it when I was doing it because it was like, oh, I just get to try out a new set of skills over and over again, you know, and it's like see which one of these I enjoy playing. And the way that the skills work is kind of cool because for a given class, there are a bunch of skills associated with each kind of weapon. So as like I picked it was more complicated as an elementalist, which is the main character that I played, because they had a set of skills associated with each weapon, but then there were four sets of those depending on which elemental affinity you had. You got to pick one when you created the character and it unlocked that one and one other one, and then you got new ones as you got the remaining two as you got your first few levels. But like you start out with a scepter and there's one skill that you have and it's just like, you know, throw a fireball or whatever. But then you kill five enemies while wielding that and you unlock the second skill, which is like a small AoE thing. And then you kill 10 more and you unlock the third one, which is like a targeted dot or something, whatever. So then, like, one-handed weapons have three skills associated with them and another two skills associated with them if they are in your offhand, if you can dual wield.
Okay.
But, like, with the elementalist, there were also just, like, a charm or something that you could put in your left hand, or, you know, there were just a variety of things that you could do. You could also wield a dagger, I guess. But there were just, like, lots and lots and lots of skills. And then there are these other trees. Like, so that's the left half of the hotbar is the skills associated with your weapons. And then there were some other skills. Riff, are you falling asleep?
Yeah.
Huh. We need to figure out a way to get you more engaged.
Do you drink coffee?
I haven't got any.
Do you need a Monster energy beverage? Ugh. Riff's sleep schedule is fucked in half.
Yep.
So then there's the other skills. Everybody gets like a healing skill, and you can earn skill points. You earn some skill points as you level that you can use to buy new skills for the right slots. Or you can go out in the world to these other places where there are like skill challenges, where sometimes they're like beat a high level monster. And sometimes they're like, here's a glowing ball that when you touch it, it's like, remember when you did that thing earlier? That was cool. Here's your skill point. And like what? Each area of the world, you get this like nice completion meter for each area of the world. It's like you've gotten, you know, 10 out of 16 of the hearts filled in. You have found 7 out of 18 of the points of interest, which are just like discovery points, like you going to different buildings and stuff.
Right.
And then there's two other things. There's skill challenges. And then there's a fourth thing that I don't remember what it was. Or I guess maybe there were only three things. And I don't remember that there were only three. A lot of events. There are these
scripted events out in the world.
Well, yeah, they're like these cycles of events that just happen over and over again. Like people kind of move around the map and the world will be in different states at different times. And it kind of seems like if you're playing through it, you don't necessarily see the same thing twice. I mean, I've definitely like by logging off and logging back in later. At one point I got kind of stuck because the next heart to fill in, like they have a level associated with them. It also does this weird thing where it sets you at an effective level. Like if you go to a low level zone as a high level character, it powers down all your shit.
Weird.
And it shows you what your effective level is so that you can't ever just go stomp on.
Why would they do content. That?
I don't know. I mean, it's.
Yeah, that's kind of.
There are a lot of MMOs that have
stomping
that.
Stomping on content is something I really enjoy.
Built into it. Like City of Heroes, you can do that sidekicking thing, you know, you can,
right.
which lets you like level
play with
up.
Friends.
I mean, other games will level you up. Star Wars The Old Republic levels you up for PvP, you know, because all of the skills are just, you know, they're not, everybody's kind of moving away from ranked skills. I think even World of Warcraft has abandoned that.
That's
now.
What
and they all
I've
just
heard.
They all just get, they just use your level as part of the math. But yeah, I don't know. It was weird to see that happening, but it made for a mostly fun thing. Except one of the hearts, like some event was causing it to be overrun by these like level 15 elementals, and so it'd like go to the waypoint and die, and then you'd respawn at a waypoint. There's this super weird, kind of confusing system that happens when you die, where you go into like a downed state. And it's kind of like a first-person shooter thing where you get knocked on your ass and then you have a, you know, you got like a wobbly crosshair where if you manage to shoot the dude that killed you, you come back to life. So it's sort of like that. You get everybody gets four abilities, one of which is a slow heal over time, which I guess that's in case like your buddies draw the aggro off of you.
Okay.
You have a hit point bar, that, like a just a meter that goes down as dudes attack you. And if that goes all the way down, then you're dead and you have to respawn at a waypoint or whatever.
Okay.
But then you have, like, you know, the elementalist had like a instant attack skill, a root, and then something else. Oh, a thing that let you like turn into vapor so you could move around for a few seconds while you were in the downed state.
Weird.
But it's just kind of weird because it's like you go into a place and you get killed, and then a lot of the times you just immediately get killed again. But then sometimes you'll get killed and then you're just stuck there if you like can't reach anybody. So then you just have to hit the heal thing and wait for this meter to fill up really slowly or wait for somebody to come along and revive you.
So that's almost more dissatisfying than just having died would have been, maybe.
I mean, the times when I felt like I really pulled something off and came back were pretty interesting. But even then, you come back with barely any hit points, and so you spend so much time just bouncing in and out of that state.
That sucks.
Which could have just been, you know, I mean, they've still got some tuning to do.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess this is still beta, right?
Yeah. The writing is pretty bad, and the voice acting is pretty bad.
That sucks.
That's the only thing that I haven't particularly liked about Cataclysm, is the voice acting in it is terrible.
Yeah, there's, at least with World of Warcraft, there's not a lot of voice acting. Yeah. You know, it's
more than I'm used to for World of Warcraft, but yeah.
I mean,
it was never all
that important. Do you think this is a move that is happening because nobody reads a goddamn thing anymore?
I mean, I think nobody listens to a goddamn thing either.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think, you know,
I was getting pissed in Diablo 3 when I was listening to something and somebody else would fucking interrupt. Like, I'd be listening to a lore segment or whatever, and then, like, somebody would start talking with some quest text or whatever, and I'd be like, I was listening to that.
Oh, you mean like when an NPC would interrupt you?
Okay. Yeah, NPCs would interrupt other NPCs and stuff.
Well, and it's weird, because like when we were playing co-op, like, if you were listening to a thing and I started a conversation, even though I didn't know you were listening to a thing, like,
it would cut that off.
Yeah. I mean, so that, I think, shows that most people don't care. They're including in the next patch, they're talking about including a thing to auto-skip cutscenes.
Yeah.
Which,
at this point,
at this
would
point, I skip them all.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I guess I played a little more Diablo 3 also. I guess slowly progressing through the game. I mean,
where are you at this point?
Half an hour. I'm in midway through Act 3 in Nightmare. Like, I haven't played that much.
Yeah, I got to Hell, and I'm partway through Act 1, I guess.
Yeah. I guess that's it. I guess that is all that I have been playing.
Oh, all right then.
Cool, guys. What's new, Kevin?
The thing that intrigued me the most was this game that Molyneux with his new 22 Cans studio or whatever after he left Lionhead is putting out.
It's him and 11 women.
Yeah. It's their first project, and I don't think it's fair to call it a game exactly. It's more like an experiment, but it's called Curiosity, and I don't know when it is launching. But the idea is that there is some sort of like cube or stone cube in this virtual world, and everybody can go and try to chisel away at it. And you can, for real money, buy better chisels, including there's like one extremely good chisel. It's like 1,000 or 10,000 times better than anything else, for 50,000 pounds. So it's like a ton of money. But they're only going to sell one of them, and you can be the one to buy it if you want.
Is it straight hit points on the cube, or does it actually matter where you hit it?
I don't know. It might be a combination of things. You know, who knows what the thing is. Anyway,
if they did like a promotional feelies pack, would they actually send you a 50,000 pound chisel?
Yeah, that's possible.
And would you have to pay for the shipping?
Yes, I believe that's probably true. And so, as I understand it, the way it works is the person who delivers the final blow to break this thing in half gets to see what's inside it, and nobody else does.
Including the people who made it, because they were all killed and buried inside the cube.
Yes. So now it'll be 21 cans or 20 cans, I guess.
Oh, really?
Because some of the cans are already in the cube.
Okay.
Some of
the cubes are in the can.
I'm excited to see what happens with that. I don't know that I will ever go and click on it, but
yeah, I mean, we're talking about this at dinner, and it's like whether or not it seems like it can't help but be disappointing, whatever it is inside it. And my hypothesis is that the only way that this won't be disappointing is if someone sees it and then never tells anyone what it was.
Yeah.
I think then it can just continue to be a good story. But if it just turns out it's like a picture of Peter Molyneux's dick, then, well, no, that would be a pretty good story.
That would be a pretty good
story just as well.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's like the only copy of Black and White 3.
Ooh.
And it's like, cool, this is about the size of the audience that that game would have had anyway.
Did you ever see that video of somebody dropping two cymbals and a drum off a cliff?
Yes.
It's pretty great. Diablo 3, that we were talking about, they finally launched their real money auction house. And people are buying and selling stuff for significant chunks of money.
When?
About the auction house? That you were looking at some of the prices on the auction house?
Oh, Kevin
said. Well, I saw that. I mean, there were a couple of things that sold for over $200.
Have I just confused the two of you?
It's possible that you confused us in real life.
When Riff sleeps, do you become Riff?
I don't think so.
Ah, weird. What about? Was it Lao Tzu and the butterfly? Who was it? That
it, it was not. I think it might have. I think it might have been tofu.
Tofu.
I think you're being racist.
Was it Ching?
Ching Chong? You think Chang, it might have been no, Ching Chong?
No. Ching?
Chang Tzu. He was one of Lao Tzu's.
There was a poet. There was a Chinese poet that I believe was Tofu. Yeah, we'll look this up later.
Anyway, video games.
Yeah.
Butterflies.com. That's today's theme is butterflies.
There are things that are selling for tens of dollars. 20, 30, 40 bucks, that kind of thing.
Day one, it's hard to generalize out, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what the trend is going to be, but the fact that people were willing at this point to sell stuff at that price is really surprising to me.
Where is this data coming from?
Because you can look at the auction hall and see some prices, but that doesn't mean anything as to what people are buying.
Well, you can look and see what things have bids on them.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay, that's a good point.
Right, like that's a real thing, unless the bids can be canceled in some way that I'm not aware of.
Bid on an you do you oh, have yeah. the kind of patience that leads you to bid on that, things?
Well, that was what I was doing. Like that's why I would check the auction house 3 or 4 times a week and then play once. Like I would go in, find some stuff, bid on some things.
I mean, I guess if you bid and then didn't play in the interim, you weren't going to outlevel the stuff that you would bid on, which is always sort of the problem with. I mean, it wasn't a problem in vanilla WoW when leveling was slow enough that it was actually meaningful. To use the auction house for gear at lower levels.
1 million gold was selling for $2.50.
Wow.
So.
I think that I would probably buy some gold.
Well, it depends on what the prices are for the things in the
There's some stuff that was there were some things that were recommended for me that were like 300,000 gold, and if I could have bought them for $1, I probably would have. You know, like,
I mean, you can probably buy a bunch of stuff for 50 cents in the real money auction house if you want.
Because I just kind of imagined.
Well, I say that.
I kind of imagined that just to see what it did to the experience, that I would maybe spend 50 bucks in the real money auction house.
You would, I mean, I think you would probably play for another hour and then give up and never play
again.
Yeah,
I think
you think that's what I would do?
That's what you have tended to do in, like,
when I throw some money in a video game.
Yeah.
I think if the real money auction hall had been out with the release of the game, I might have spent 20 or 30 bucks. But
you're done now.
But I'm done.
Like, you're so done with it that you're literally asleep.
Yes.
They seem to be... So there was a Diablo 3 developer AMA on Reddit.
That was great.
And it was really, really good.
Thank you, Video Games Hot Dog Reader, who pointed that out to us.
Yeah. And they just talked about a lot of stuff, and they are very much paying attention to the systems. Hmm. The claim that they made, which was very surprising to me, was that they did not balance the game with the auction house in mind.
Huh.
I do believe them that you could beat Inferno just based on drops that you got. It would be so much harder.
It doesn't surprise me only because how could they have? They would have had no way of predicting how it was actually going to turn out.
Okay. I mean, I feel like...
Hey, I mean, when I moved from normal to nightmare without having bought anything in the auction hall, stuff was considerably more difficult. I mean, was I just expected to
grind?
Like, yeah, well, but
it was possible to do so.
Yeah, I think
sure. Right? I mean, theoretically, eventually, I mean, after playing maybe another 20, 30 more hours doing the same first act over and over and over until I managed to get some good drops, but...
I mean, I think they are probably much more skilled as players than we are. So that would help them. And they, yeah, I mean, I think
plus
you grind for
buttons that would just give them levels up.
Sure. But other things that they addressed were things that, like, I remember chafing at. Like, all through Act 1, you get yellow items when you kill a boss, and then that suddenly stops in Nightmare.
Yeah, and that was weird. I mean, so their reaction to that was one of the guys was like, yeah, that was my decision, and the other two guys have since convinced me that I'm wrong, and so we're going to put that back in.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what that means, though. Like, is that just a flag that's on the character, so if we go back and kill if we go kill Belial on Nightmare again, will he actually drop some rares?
I don't know.
This time? You know, it didn't bother me that much. It seemed weird. I was surprised the first time it happened, but I
assumed that was because...
They didn't want you to farm bosses.
Yeah, they didn't want you to farm them. The bosses are the things that you can guarantee are always there, whereas...
Yeah, but, I mean...
Resplendent chests.
The random
isn't how they were going to balance Inferno. And, like, the reason that they had taken that away was because they did not want people to chafe when they finally got to Inferno... That'd be the first place that you encountered a boss that didn't drop any yellows unless you had a full stack of the Nephilim Valor or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so instead of doing that, they just took it all the way back down to Nightmare. And so it was weird because I definitely agree that at the highest level, you don't want to get into a situation where you have to level for your best chance to get something. You have to level a dude all the way up to Inferno.
Yeah, I mean, it was like that whole bullshit with Charcy in Diablo 2 where people wouldn't use... They would make a new character, and then the later you used your augment, or what was that? Your
whatever
imbue is what she called it.
The better it would get.
Yeah, and so, like, and I never did it, right? Because, I mean, it was like based on the screaming that I did about it last week, I was just not going to do that. I was like, you know what? Fuck that. I will save it until halfway through level... or halfway through Act 2 or something, but like, fuck it. I want to see what comes out of it, you know? I don't care that it would be better if I held it off for later. Like,
people
this is
would
a fucking game.
Try to
career.
Get in on the first time that somebody would run a particular boss that dropped some runes, because the first time you did it, you got better runes or whatever, and then they try to, like, steal,
gank
them.
Runes.
Yeah. Just a bunch of stuff like that was really obnoxious.
And then they would do a combination of taking your runes and escape, which they called RuneScape.
Yep. So that's Diablo 3's real money auction house.
I read this as analysts say F flat gaming fad in decline, but then that's just a B and not flat. Okay.
So Zynga's stock has dropped to a new low. Their valuation, which I guess when they had their IPO, they were valued at $9 billion. Now they're valued under $4 billion. So they are... like under half of their original like price, basically. And a lot of analysts are talking about how they think that the Facebook gaming fad is in its decline already. And I was like, maybe
Zynga's just shat their own well by...
They've mixed their own metaphor.
Yeah. by being so blatantly awful. I mean, all the stuff...
Which is ironic, because the newer games that they're coming out with are actually more interesting.
Yeah, but
than
I mean, is there anybody taking up that mantle? I mean, like, are there new Facebook games that are good and making any money?
Oh, that I have no idea.
Or is it
I
just
have no idea.
Like... I mean, I feel like it's kind of gotten to the point where there's no longer that marginal sort of Old West thing where one dude can make a Facebook game. Right, because I think it's going to get harder and harder to compete with ones that come into it with budgets of millions of dollars.
A bunch of people are playing You Don't Know Jack on Facebook right now because it's awesome.
Right, but that's a big, that's a large-scale commercial product with
But it is an awesome game too, right? Like I think a bunch of the games which had been on Facebook were just kind of terrible games that were designed to take advantage of the psychology of the users and didn't have a lot of game there. Whereas, like...
You know, I kind of wonder. Like,
Words
the game,
with Friends or
the
whatever.
The game
is
that
it?
Farmville ripped off. Yeah. Right? The original one of those. Do you think that those guys were assholes? Or were they just like, oh, let's make a game where you can farm shit?
I have no idea.
You know? Like, how much of that model is inherently what we would find objectionable? And how much of it is just, like, the drapes that Zynga hung on it?
Yeah, I don't know.
that were like baby raping drapes.
Ugh, those are terrible drapes.
And then, so in addition to the expanded Humble Indie Bundle 5, Steam is having a Potato Sack Reunion sale, which is 13 games, which has, the price has continued to drop, and it's like $20 now for just a ton of games. They're like 1, 2, 3, Kick It, A Reckless Disregard for Gravity, Amnesia the Dark Descent, Audio Surf, Bit.Trip Beat, Cogs, Defense Grid The Awakening, Killing Floor, Rush, Super Meat Boy, The Ball, The Wonderful End of the World, and Toki Tori. I don't have most of those.
No, I have that game.
I've played like half of them, I guess.
Yeah.
But
Amnesia?
Yeah.
Have we played that?
Yeah.
We played that.
Yeah. There's, so because they're skinning it, because Steam is skinning it as a potato-themed thing.
People think it's Half-Life 3.
People think it's some sort of,
I mean, you know, knowing Eric Wolpaw's love of the Back to the Future series, it's entirely possible that they filmed Portal 2 and Portal 3 at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you go from there, really?
I don't know.
You just got a portal gun and you just go to the post-apocalyptic ruins of New York City.
What's that new one by the lady that worked on the Portal games that I've forgotten the title of it, but it's different dimensions?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The heavy dimension.
Are you sure this just isn't a dream that you're currently having?
Pretty sure, yeah, yeah. It's coming out soon.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, so that was the end of the news. We're burning through this shit in record time, fellas.
Wow.
It's going to be, we can still make happy hour.
Sweet. Happy hour is when I'm a Viking.
So this week's assignment, Limbo. You guys had both played all the way through Limbo before. I realized that I forgot to play it until this morning, and so I got about, I don't know, 2/3 of the way through it and walked away from my computer in disgust.
I realized this morning that I hadn't played it yet, and then I said, well, you know, I already played all the way through it once. That's good enough.
What do you think about it?
I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. I liked the mood of it and the art style. I thought the puzzles were all pretty reasonable. I think it may be the first one of those games in quite a long time, one of those sorts of games where I never ended up having to look anything up.
I had to look at a walkthrough for a puzzle that I had already solved on my own in a previous playthrough.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
And there is some stuff in it that's where you basically have to learn by dying, but whereas in most games I would consider that to be unfair, I didn't really mind it.
I mean, the dying really sets the mood of this, exactly. And it's pretty important. The thing that just made me angry enough that today, I was just stressed out of work and I had a lot of shit to do, and I was like, I don't really have time to do this anyway, so I just want to see how much of it I can get done before anything happens that makes me want to stop playing it. And there's a puzzle where you have to like push a block a long way and get it under an opening in a platform, and then pull a lever to get some water to come up, and then climb a ladder, run over, get on that box, go up another stage, go grab another box to put in a different place and ride that up the way. And the first time I got up to the second box, I pulled it like one pixel not far enough, and so it got stuck under the thing, and the physics didn't push it out of the way, and so I just instantly drowned. And then it starts you all the way back at the beginning of that, and it probably only takes 45 seconds, but so I did it, got up there again, and then realized too late that the box had a hole in it and it was sinking, and I missed the opportunity to actually make the jump onto the other platform, and it started me over again. And like the fact that that thing wasn't checkpointed at all just made me think, like,
it's like,
you know what, the guy who made this just has no respect for my time. And fuck this.
I mean, it is every puzzle's like got a sort of discrete chunk.
Yeah.
And that was just viewed as all part of the same puzzle.
Yeah, I know.
Even though there were multiple stages to it and that kind of thing.
I mean, and most of them were not like that, but this one was.
The ones that are timed are a little tricky, right? Because, you know, you basically have a set amount of time to get where you're going because of this water flow, and getting to the very, like, if you had been able to jump off of that box, that would have been the next checkpoint. And so, you know, you were like literally right at the end.
Would that be the next checkpoint? Because I heard that after that, the water starts spilling over it and you have to do something else.
Yeah,
to get
but
out
if
of
you
there.
Die, but if you
it
die,
leaves, it puts you on top
then
of it.
You start up on top.
God damn it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it wasn't hard to do the things, right? It didn't require any skill. It was just like, do this again, push this box, and you move super fucking slow, and you move even slower when you're pushing a fucking box, and then pull this lever and climb up this ladder and move this other thing out of the way, and then wait a long time for the water level to go up real slowly.
You know, I mean, I played through the entire game, spending a lot of time dying because I was looking for all the secrets. I found way more of them than I had in previous playthroughs. So
I only found the one that you get by going left.
Right. So there's that one.
Unless you turn into a ball.
Yeah, that's true. There was one that I was pretty satisfied with, where you just walk into some darkness and it turns out that it's actually a tunnel that goes for a really, really long time. And then there's a thing at the end of that. There's one
light.
They're all little lights that you, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Lights that you step on. I don't know what those are exactly.
Is there a tunnel snake?
There's no tunnel snake. And then there was
Did
one
you have tunnel vision while you were in it.
I was jumping down like every pit and dying. And then I finally jumped down a pit and died, but there was a thing down there. I was like, there's gotta be some way to get down this pit. And it turns out that there's actually a chain that you just can barely see that you can jump onto and climb down.
You know, visually, I think the thing was really neat. I think it took a leaf from Braid's book in that it never really made you do the same thing twice. Mm-hmm. Every puzzle was unique.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed the, I'm not sure what the name of the area was, but the factory type levels where you flip a switch and the entire level rotates around you.
Yep.
I thought those were pretty cool. It really surprised me when it first happened.
One of the times when I just started disliking the person that had made the game was the thing where there are two of those big presses, and on the first one, you can only jump on the flat part, and on the second one, you have to avoid the flat part. And it's like, I thought, is this asshole going to do this to me? And I walked up to it and it did. I was like, motherfucker. like partially, the fact that I saw that coming means that I do have a rapport with the sort of, you know, avatar of the guy that designed this.
But I would design a puzzle like that. I know I would.
It's without any signposting at all, I feel like it's kind of a dick move.
I mean, I do not remember for 100% certain, but I think I got through that without dying by making that assumption of like getting the first one right and then seeing the second one and going, it can't possibly be the same.
That, I mean, you yourself just said that there are no two puzzles that are the same, and so why would the second one be the same? So maybe that's the lesson, right?
Maybe.
I'm not trying to defend that one. At least that one doesn't
set you back so far when you, and you know, it was, I guess it was kind of funny. I was not in a very forgiving mood when I was playing this. You get to use that knowledge to kill the kids
that come after you after one.
Well, sort of.
I mean, you have to remember which one was which is kind of funny in reverse order. You know, I thought it was good. I did not play the game with the expectation of not dying. So like,
No, I didn't either, but...
So, like, it is surprising to me that people would be upset at a place where it's more likely that you're going to die. Because there are a bunch of other places where you can assume that you can do something and that's the wrong thing to do. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, assuming that you can, like, get across a body of water by jumping on this boat, the box or whatever, when in fact you're supposed to pull the box elsewhere and jump on it.
And I mean, that's part of what... like, a lot of where I felt like the game was wasting my time is when it seemed like maybe you just had to get lucky with the physics to do a certain thing. Like, it didn't make it clear to you when you were barking up the wrong tree or barking at a lake when you were supposed to be going up a tree.
But they, like, in some of those situations, you actually could do something and then there'd be a hidden area. You know, so, like...
Yeah, I mean, that platform in Braid that resulted in one of the stars, that if you sat on it for 8 hours, that I felt like was a little bit of abuse of my trust on the part of the designer, because that is a platform that serves no purpose, and there aren't supposed to be those in this game.
Right.
In it, like, your you know, everything that I had been led to believe about what John Blow wanted to do with that game suggested, and, you know, it was there for a purpose, but it was there for a purpose that he decided later was too complicated to, you know.
The stars are a little at odds with his philosophy, I think.
If that platform had not been there on the first playthrough, right? If the stars were a thing that you
got on
could go for optionally later.
Yeah. The timed trial things is also a little strange in Braid. Like, that's...
Oh, I guess I wasn't aware of that.
Once you beat it once, you can do a time trial and see how fast you can beat it.
Huh.
Which, I mean, it's interesting. And, like, if you're really into the game, then sure, that seems like a cool challenge. It's just, at that point, they're not...
You're not learning anything anymore.
Yeah, you're just trying to get a score, which I thought was kind of the point of right. not, like, not having a score.
Yeah, I mean, Braid was never really about platforming skill, right? There were a few things.
There definitely are some
few things.
Things
that were kind of tricky.
There's definitely timing puzzles and stuff, so...
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But it was even more cerebral than that.
Yeah. I mean, I really liked them, though. I thought the mood was really good. The graphics were really cool. I mean, the number of different ways that you can get eviscerated and and die, like, just super impressive. That spider is super creepy.
Spider is great.
Like, that just sets... The other kids, like, everything. Like, the... Just the personification of all the challenges is really well done, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I will probably finish it. I just, I had too much shit to do today.
There are some really hard puzzles.
I had to come to work and be angry about things all day.
There are some things that you it took me a long time to figure out the first time. Just non-obvious stuff to do.
That happened later than I got to.
I'm guessing, yeah. Some of them are pretty late game.
There was nothing ever super tricky. I was always, you know, kind of clever, like realizing that you had to grab one of the corpses out of the lake to use it to trigger that thing
Have you ever gotten to any of the things that reverse gravity?
No.
Okay.
I got the point where you get the brain worm and you have to figure out that was pretty interesting.
That's reused a couple times in different contexts.
You know, it's a beautiful game.
Yeah.
And you know, neat, like fairly minimal, right? I mean that like and to use to great effect. And I like that. You know, it's a way of getting away with a pretty low fidelity of art assets because of really good design, and I like seeing that. You know. Hey, what was insanely insanely shitted Twister Planet?
Charmin? Yeah. What about it?
Was it all shadow like that, or
it was silhouettes, but it had colored backgrounds?
It seemed like a really colorful game.
Yeah,
when I saw you playing it for 10 minutes,
and I guess there were like highlights. I remember your ship was mainly a silhouette, but it had little round, circular, colored parts on it that I guess were like the windows or whatever.
Okay,
so it was sort of both.
Well, cool. Kevin, what's next week's assignment?
Next week's assignment is The Stacks.
An indie game about question mark, question mark, question mark.
Yep.
Hey guys, what do you say we confuse everyone and do some listener's mail?
What? Well, all right then.
All right. Just writes, and I wrote down that I don't know if that is a person's name or just the start of a sentence that got clipped off. What's a good progress bar, according to you? The one in Jagged Alliance, Back in Action, goes from right to left and drives me nuts. Yeah. Best one I have seen was in Peggle, i.e. felching happiness. I mean, fetching happiness. I like the progress bars in Bioshock.
What do they do?
For photography, where they go up by an amount depending on how cool your picture is, and then they give you things when you fill them. They're like, you get an extra tonic, or you get +5 damage against these dudes. Or
so there's
you
like milestones?
Yeah, there's milestones. We should totally steal that system for a new video game.
Done.
Yeah. We've been doing Kickstarter updates full of mechanics.
Yeah, we have.
And mics. And some Ikes.
I don't Plenty's.
I don't know that I have a lot of opinions about progress bars.
Yeah, I can't think of any in particular.
The ones that I hate are the ones that get to the end and then start over because they're like doing some other thing.
In a new color?
Yeah.
Like the boss fights in like Golden Axe or whatever, or Final Fight, where it's like starts out red and then, oh, it turns out I wasn't done. I was only halfway done beating up this transvestite.
That Japanese game that was just systems had that the last boss you had to fill up the progress bar like 8 times or something,
or where the progress bar is not in any way time managed, so it fills up to like 95% really fast and then sits there for another 10 minutes,
just like every loading bar on everything.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, the initializing progress bar on Diablo 3 on my computer for some reason will sit there for 5 minutes doing nothing at 0%. And like several times I've just like, is this thing, did it crash? And I would like restart it and it would sit there again. And then if I just walked away from it and came back 10 minutes later, it would be full. Huh. So
what about a progress bar that was a boss and hitting it just caused pieces of it to fall off?
Would they fall off from right to left or from left to right?
Depends on which side you hit with your sweet sword, I guess. What about a progress bar that was made of skeletons?
That could be a thing.
There was that one boss in all the Castlevania games that's sort of a progress bar made of a big ball of corpses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, but he like flies across the screen.
He doesn't have a health meter. It's just how many corpses are left on him is how close he is to dead. And then sometimes it's an eyeball in there. Sometimes it's just another corpse.
Just a weird tentacle thing sometimes, yeah.
When you knock the corpses off, were they animate and you had to kill them a second time?
Sometimes.
Yeah, okay. I remember that.
It's a pretty good boss.
Yeah, it's a pretty good boss.
You did platforms on the sides of the... You'd think that guy would hang out in a room that didn't have platforms where people could hit him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a malady that many Castlevania bosses suffer from.
Many bosses in general are in situations where they are... Just lined up such that heroes can come and thwack at them at about head height.
I mean, like, Kraid in Super Metroid is just like, oh, hey, I noticed there was nowhere for you to stand to fucking shoot me in the face. Let me toss the thing over there for you.
Yeah, let me throw some
there you go, buddy.
Platforms there for you.
That guy, there's that other, the Castlevania boss that's just the giant one-footed laser slug that's like, oh, I'm super heavy. You know what I should do? I should go all the way to the top of this tower and stand on the flimsiest floor in the castle.
Right.
Because, like, you've been casting lightning bolts and earthquakes and shit all over this place. All the floors in this castle are awesome, except the one that I'm standing on. It's pretty good.
So, what is it? I mean, is this part of the boss compulsion that also happens when they're confronted with the hero that they have to tell them their whole nefarious scheme?
That could be.
That maybe they're, like, compelled to go to a lair that exposes their greatest weakness?
All right, maybe because in secret they want to be defeated.
Hmm. That's a good point.
Only in defeat will they gain the respect of their father.
Hmm.
Dennis says, hey, Video Games Hot Dog crew, here's a question for you. Have any of you ever tried a game based on a friend's suggestion that you ended up enjoying and would not have tried otherwise? Blades of Steel for the NES. I think I never would have decided that a hockey game would be any fun.
Have you watched Blades of Glory?
I haven't. I don't think that I'm going to.
But okay, so that's a movie that you don't think is any good.
I'm not actually
going to recommend that.
You're not going to recommend
that. I don't know that I've seen it or that it would be any good.
I'm pretty sure you've seen every movie.
I've seen a lot of them.
Has anybody ever recommended a game to you that you would not have otherwise tried?
I am sure. And I'm trying to think of ones. I mean, I knew that World of Warcraft was really good and I had decided not to play it. And then you were like, no, you need to play this game. Yeah. So that wasn't really a recommendation, though.
I cost myself a lot of useful employee time.
Yep.
By forcing suggesting us to play. People play World of Warcraft. What about you recommended Darksiders to me, Riff, and I don't think I ever would have had any idea that would be a game that I would like.
Yeah,
I didn't really play that much of it, but
it was very Ocarina of Time, and you would not expect that just
sort of like Ocarina of Time of God of War.
Yeah,
Portaleuces was, I think. Even if I had seen that on my own, I would not have gotten into it without somebody being like, no, there's something to this. Give it some time or whatever.
I don't think you ever would have played Roguelike if I hadn't recommended
that. That's true.
You know, the internet recommends so many things. I would not have probably been interested in Snakes on a Cartesian Plane if it hadn't had a funny name.
I wonder if Roguelike, if you let it sit long enough, whether it will crash in a horrible way. I did something today to the build of Word Realms that caused my whole computer to seize up for a little while and then like flash to crash such that I had to reboot my computer.
I have had that happen.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's some math in the code that was just not like in one of the variables that I had changed.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that there are some problems in that code in general. There are some issues.
Nothing that is not surmountable.
Certainly. Certainly that. The Rum says, Zach, every time I hear the name Matthew Lillard, I think of you. You are the only person I can think of who's ever pointed out enjoying the performances of Matthew Lillard. I have never seen a movie he was in. Well, you are missing out, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Can you name some Matthew Lillard films?
Sure. SLC Punk. Yep. Matthew Lillard was the main character. Matthew Lillard was Shaggy in the remake of Scooby-Doo, which I did not actually see.
Is that the one where they went to the island?
I don't know. He was in 13 Ghosts as a guy in a jumpsuit.
Was he the dude in Hackers?
Yes, he was serial killer in Hackers. He was he was the guy in Scream who was played by Matthew Lillard.
So this is a vaguely pertinent anecdote. When we were in the hotel in Colorado, we decided to turn on the TV and we were flipping through channels and I looked at it and I was like, wow, that dude looks like a serial killer. And Melissa was like, yeah, geez, what is this show? And we went back to it. And the commercial break happened. It was like, interviews with serial killers. We'll be back after this. And we were like, holy crap. How is that a thing? How can you look at somebody?
They looked like everybody else. I thought that was the whole thing. With it. They look like everybody else with a grisly clown face made of the skin of babies.
Oh, he was the main guy? No, that was Freddie Prinze Jr. He was Brock Hudson and She's All That.
What's a Prinze Jr.? If a prince is a son of a king.
Well, I mean, like, if Whopper Jr. is anything to base a system on, Freddie Prinze Jr. is like Freddie Prinze, except smaller.
Okay.
I know that he was in Freddie Prinze Jr., the first time I ever saw him was in the Wing Commander movie, which he was in with Jake Busey, who, similar to Matthew Lillard, like, if you had to pick somebody to play Matthew Lillard in Lillard, the Matthew Lillard story, you'd probably have to pick Jake Busey. man.
Is he related to start Gary Busey?
We need to start, yeah, it's his son. We need to start a Kickstarter to make Lillard the Matthew Lillard story.
Wow.
Starring Jake Busey. But it needs another Lillard. It needs a subtitle. Lillard's all over. So part of the reason that I like Matthew Lillard is because his name is awesome, and the other part of the reason is that Matthew Lillard is in fact kind of awesome. He seems like a cool guy. Yeah. He did an AMA on Reddit like the day before I did mine, and I was damn, I'm really glad that I wasn't up against Matthew Lillard for the attention of the internet going public. Gleebs writes, "What is your favorite video game controller?"
Ooh, I think I just prefer the good old DualShock.
DualShock.
Yeah, the good old PS2, PS3.
I like a Super Nintendo controller, to be perfectly honest.
Keyboard and mouse.
I also like keyboard
I
and
really
mouse.
Like that
I
control
scheme. I think that's probably my favorite video game controller.
I don't think that counts.
Given the choice between a game on a console and a game on just a keyboard and mouse, like a PC port, I almost always want to play it. Hmm. You know, like there are some cool games, you know, I think Fez, maybe Super Meat Boy, are like so strongly built for consoles that sure, but you know, shooters, I just like the trying to use those little analog joysticks.
We never learned to do strafe and look with twin sticks,
sure.
Right? And
sure.
And I mean, we probably could, but there would just be so much. I don't understand how you guys could play like Fallout 3 or Skyrim or whatever.
Yeah, with inventory management, like the Fallout with hotkeys, oh, sexy. Not Fallout,
Skyrim
with hotkeys, yep. So much better.
Yep, I'm probably going to end up having to play BioShock Infinite with a controller.
Super Nintendo, though. Super Nintendo is where it's at. They're fucking... Man, it upsets me so much when a game does one of those splash screens that has 50 arrows pointing to every thing on the controller to tell you what it does. Just like, man, there is no fucking way that this thing is even going to be on the screen long enough for me to read it. And B, no fucking way that I'm even going to remember a quarter of this stuff. And that's the thing.
Is it one of those things that you'll see over and over again, so you'll just get more and more ingrained?
Here's the thing, though. We could go back right now and play The Legend of Zelda and immediately be playing The Legend of Zelda, right? Potentially the same with A Link to the Past. right? You just figure out there's not that many buttons, right? And they do reasonable things. And maybe it even says on the screen. But like, if I tried to go back, I played like 3/4 of the way through Infamous, but if I was going to play it again now, I would totally just have to start the fuck over because it's so much of it is like this muscle memory that's just not going to stick around.
Are you saying that we could pick up in the middle of Zelda or Link?
I am, actually.
Because I feel like there's a bunch of subsystems in there that you would have to remember about. Like, I think...
But you're mapping things to buttons, right? And you're mapping things to buttons, and then you have to, you know, you lose a lot of, like, oh, well, I have to really fast switch between the hook shot and the dick shot or whatever.
Right.
I don't remember what other things there were.
The dick hook shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo!
Wait, were you imagining actually using your, like, unfurling your dick?
Oh, wow, yeah, that's not what I was thinking
of.
What would the contact point for that look like? Just a
slot?
Spider's mouth. but in something like Infamous, you're not doing that, right? Like, you just have a million fucking things that the controllers can do. Batman Arkham Asylum, say, is a fucking great game. And I really, really enjoyed it. But Jesus Christ, is there a lot of shit that different things on the fucking controller do. And I had to force myself to play it every day because I knew that if I skipped a day, that my senile old ass would just not remember how any of the fucking buttons worked. And I would be like somebody's dad trying to play Arkham Asylum. And not somebody's cool dad who's like, you know, not like a baby's dad who's like 20. Working at Walmart. So he plays, that's all he does all day is play Arkham Asylum on the demo. Ooh. PS3 at Walmart.
If that was your job?
It's probably not what's on there anymore. And you'd also probably get fired if that's what you were doing. And then where would your baby be?
But I mean, if you could make a case that you playing the game would drive a lot of sales, I could imagine that. That would be way better than one of those jobs where you're like outside on a street corner spinning a sign around that nobody can read.
I tried using that argument about me swallowing diamonds at that jeweler that I worked at for a while, but they didn't buy it. And man, that...
Blood diamond.
Yeah. You're not kidding,
will
buddy.
Be, yeah.
Gleebs also writes, what is your favorite movie based on a video game, or are all of them equally terrible? You know what was a good video game based on a movie was The Chronicles of Riddick: Escape from Butcher Bay.
Was it?
Yeah, it was actually a pretty good game.
Hmm.
What else was good? The Ghostbusters game was interesting.
Wait,
I'm going the opposite. what I like to do is I like to read a question by Gleebs and then I'll answer the opposite of that question.
I see.
I mean, when he asked what your favorite video game controller was, you said a keyboard and mouse. So you're guilty of this too, buddy.
No, those are things that I use to control a lot of video games.
Those aren't video games, they're computer games.
Whoa.
Are there any good movies based on video games?
I can't think of any that aren't made by, what's his name? The
Uwe Boll? Yeah. The first Resident Evil movie was pretty bad.
I didn't see the Resident Evil.
What about, consider Run Lola Run to be? Like, is it, okay. do you want
Run Lola Run is a video game movie, then
do you want specific, like, within like the same license?
Transformers?
That wasn't really a video game.
Mortal Kombat was funny.
Yeah.
It had a good soundtrack. Still think of that every once in a while. Every once in a while, you just start doing that. You just yell, Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat! Yeah. I can't see.
What about Prince of Persia?
I did not see that.
It was not great. It was okay. It wasn't the worst movie ever.
Source Code was pretty good. There was a DS game called Moon that came out and had nothing to do with the Zoe Bowie movie Moon.
That was a good movie.
I feel like we've got to be.
Yeah, we must be missing something.
We've got to be missing something. Oh, man, I really want to watch. And I think I really want to force you guys to watch just to see how bad it can be that In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege movie. So it's a movie based on Dungeon Siege.
That has Matthew Lillard in it.
It does have Matthew Lillard in it. And it also has Jason Statham in it, and it also has Burt Reynolds in it.
What?
I know.
Wow.
It seems so weird that this thing came and went without me really knowing about it until afterwards. Dungeon Siege is probably the worst video game I have ever played. That's a strong... There is a copy of Werewolf the Last Warrior sitting on the chair in the other room. I meant to bring it in here just as a... just as like a sort of a memento mori for us, like this is what it is. This is the failure. This is the magnitude of failure that it is possible for an endeavor like the one we're engaged in to reach.
Well, I mean, it did well enough to get printed on Nintendo cartridges. Have you seen the trailer for that new Disney 3D cartoon movie?
Yeah, except not that Pixar? Looks pretty good.
That looks pretty good.
I don't know. Surprisingly good. With it not being Pixar, I don't know if I
trust it. Yeah, I don't understand who's
also
making it.
Apparently that's a real game. That
they made a real game for it.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I don't know.
The game didn't exist first, I'm pretty sure. It's not based on that game.
I saw a thing that suggested that it did. I mean, I guess it might have been some viral marketing thing, but it was like Disney putting up flyers saying like, hey, if anybody has a working copy of this, like there were only a couple hundred of them made.
So Final Fantasy The Spirits Within was not terrible.
Well, yeah, I've got a copy of that. It wasn't good,
and it wasn't really based on a video game, right? Yeah, it was based on a video game world.
Franchise. Yeah. But then I enjoyed the Lara Croft Tomb Raider movie.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, I think I saw that. It had gratuitous bath time.
Sure.
With
Angelina Jolie.
Gratuitous Baxter Burney.
What? Fuck. What is that guy's name? John Voight. John Voight was...
Voight?
I did not know that there was a
John Voight Mein Kampf test to tell. You have to watch Deliverance and then read Mein Kampf, and if you don't kill yourself, then you're a robot.
I did not know that there was a Professor Layton movie.
Huh.
It's only in Japan.
I had not heard of it. Is it animated? It must be
animated. It's animated. Yeah.
There's a live action Phoenix Wright.
Oh wow!
In Japan,
there's a bunch of Pokemon movies.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't know that those count.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was Pokemon a cartoon after it was a video game?
I do not know.
Yes. I'm pretty sure the cartoon came second.
Okay.
I'm about 80% sure.
Gleebs continues, how do you guys feel about every game having its own wiki these days? Do you like this as a player, as a designer? Do you think it frees up design space to make harder puzzles because the player has so much working knowledge at their disposal? You know, I think for a while it seemed like it was okay to put really confusing shit in a game and not explain it adequately because you knew that everybody was going to work together to figure it out. Like, with MMOs especially, like...
You mean in the age of collaborative gameplay with the internet?
Yeah. I mean, it's like EverQuest. What was funny about EverQuest is that there were no quests when it launched, and they tacked on this quest system that involved you just figuring out, like, you had to talk to people and say specific words to specific dudes, and it would then let you know what they wanted, and then if you brought it back to them, it would maybe give you something else. And that, you just would never have been able to find any of them without just going and having these really detailed, really boring Eliza-style conversations with every NPC in the game. Hoping that you didn't accidentally hit one of the buttons that would cause you to attack them and then one hit kill you.
Right.
Like every NPC would. You know, I don't know. It's weird. I mean, KOL definitely has had, to a greater or lesser extent throughout its life, that problem where you sort of, a rational, normal person would need outside assistance to be able to figure out a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, that got to be kind of a crutch.
If you have been playing the game since the beginning, it's not a problem. It's the fact that the systems have evolved over time and we have not been good about signposting what is needed for different things in a lot of places.
I was really frustrated in the first like week or so of playing The Old Republic that I couldn't look anything up.
Really?
Yeah, like that if I just, like, I saw, I would see, like, all right, I have a crafting thing that requires this thing, and I just have no fucking idea what this thing is. Like, where does this come from? You know, something that I found really weird about the Guild Wars 2 thing? I never saw anyone speaking in chat. Like, in the very lowest of the low levels, there were lots of other people around, but then I would just go hours without seeing anyone, and it was like, this seems like it shouldn't be like this. It seems like there would be a lot of people excited about playing in this beta weekend.
Huh.
And just so many times I would ask a question in the chat and just crickets.
Maybe, I mean, it does not seem impossible to me that you got shunted to a server that just didn't have a bunch of people on it.
I don't know. I just picked the first server.
But maybe that was the low population. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I can think of reasons why that might be the case.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Thought it was weird, though. And only 3 of the 5 races were available to play, so people were funneled even more into smaller areas. Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. Just not, you know, I had nothing to go on other than what was in the game. You know, it was more or less okay. I did some crafting. They had some the crafting in Guild Wars 2. I guess I'm talking about Guild Wars 2 again.
Yeah.
The crafting was kind of interesting because the way that you learned, well, I don't know. One of the ways in which you learned how to make things was by just experimenting with putting things together. But it would just tell you. You'd put like two pieces in this experiment window, and it would say, this looks like it makes something. Click here to do it. And I don't know if it had a chance of failure
or
what the deal was. But then it would just put it in your list of recipes that you could make. And then I think you learned some more recipes by leveling up the crafting discipline, maybe.
Huh.
Apparently you can level all the way to the cap just by doing every crafting discipline.
Huh.
I don't know where you would get your materials.
That's kind of neat.
Arbitrage, probably.
Yeah, could be.
I remember...
Twinking.
Yeah. I remember leveling... tailoring at a profit in World of Warcraft.
Nope.
It just took a while. You had to find some good recipes and then sell a bunch of shirts.
I remember leveling carpentry as a profit back when I was in Bethlehem. Nazareth? I don't remember where I was.
It's been a long time.
Didn't last very long.
You
anyway.
Were pretty high.
Hypnobono says, video games have some weird names. What's the dumbest name you've encountered in a video game? Coolest name? I think Agent Nurls Yorkson from Star Wars The Old Republic was pretty good. We encountered the amazing albino in a video game today.
I assumed he meant video game titles.
Well, I'm assuming named encountered in a video game means the name of a character.
Some of the generated names in Diablo 3 were pretty bad.
Mm. The Chundermonger.
Yeah.
I mean, that was clearly chosen. Like that doesn't seem like
Scathach.
I think that was like Scathach.
Agog.
Right? Yeah, there were a lot of alots.
Maybe.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. The first time I saw somebody named Scathach, I was like, oh, the T is missing. This is actually just Ska-hatch. Oh, I never should have opened this. There's fucking guys in suits with trombones. This is worse than hell.
Amazing albino.
You know what? That's about enough of that. We got some shit we got to do.
Okay.
Kevin, if somebody wanted to ask us one of these questions.
Yeah. They could tweet us at VGHotDog. They could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com. Or they could check out our forums. Link is available at VideoGamesHotDog.com.
A link to the past.
A link to the past. This is probably the last show that we're going to air while our Kickstarter is still a thing. So if you're listening to this, at the very least, go check out the Kickstarter.
Check it out. Tell everybody you have ever met or might in the future.
Yeah, and maybe if you just want to talk some shit about the art. That's cool. Yeah. We could use some more of that.
But yeah, like the video is pretty funny. I think you might enjoy that because it's got some of us in it.
Making that video. I kind of want to do...
Well, we're talking about the video with me and Kevin in it.
Oh, that.
Not the video you made. Video I guess Riff made a thing, too.
I like the video I made. I kind of want to make a little walk around my Minecraft town.
Now that we know that we can.
Yeah.
And yeah, now that 12-year-old has taught you guys that you don't need
expensive
screen capture software.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to go talk to some other 12-year-olds about some things. So we'll see you next week. More or less.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how that works out.
Because Kevin's about to move away
and
make us sad.
I'm going on a trip. And then I'll be back, and then I'm going on another trip, and then I'm going to
be back in a year.
I'll be back in 3 weeks.
All right. Good night, listeners.
Have a great weekend, everybody.